President, members of council, this ordinance has been on the stove for some time, being reviewed and analyzed. What I provided you a week or two ago in your package was the ordinance supported by what I would call a study guide. I tried to go through the ordinance in detail and lift out issues that I thought you might want to look over more carefully. And then on top of that, in I believe it was May of last year, I was asked to try and come up with a dollar estimate that would be attached to each piece of infrastructure that this ordinance would supposedly require. That was a bit difficult, more difficult to do than the other assignment, but I've attempted to bring together some facts and figures that will help you understand the cost that would be incurred by an ordinance like this. Let me say that in my opening comments that this ordinance, an ordinance similar to this, is in place in the other two counties in Delaware. And the concept here is that when growth happens with an ordinance like this, the public facilities in this ordinance's case, we're talking about four: water service, emergency medical service, which is our paramedics, roads, and school capacity. These four public services would be required to stay up to speed, if you would, to provide those services to the new residents that would populate this new subdivision that's being considered. So the ordinance is designed to help the community keep pace with the public services needed to take care of the new folks that are going to live in this new subdivision. That's the concept. Currently, to make that make a little more sense on a pragmatic platform, in your package, I gave you examples of a very large project that took place in Wilmington, and the road impact was very large. It was somewhere in the vicinity of $4 million total that was required in road improvements. Now, without Newcastle County having some provision to make the development pay for those costs, people all up and down the state and their tax dollars would be paying for those improvements. So the idea here is to not have folks in Sussex County or wherever pay for growth that happened in Wilmington, or vice versa. People in Wilmington probably shouldn't be paying for improvements needed to support folks that have moved into Bethel, as an example. So this ordinance brings those costs into a smaller arena. That's the intention, anyway.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
We have, in the last year or two, we've approved some things that have come across here, and it's the Dell Dots required developers to spend $1 million and $2 million, and so they're already doing something, aren't they?
In many cases, they're able to assemble those kinds of agreements through MOUs or agreements with the developer if, in fact, the legislative body requires it. This ordinance puts all of that into an exact verbiage.
But I mean, they've been doing that on whose authority then?
Well, they do that when you approve a subdivision. Usually, you'll require those kinds of things to be taken care of with roads.
Okay.
We have not. We do finance all the paramedic except for the 30% the state picks up. Sussex County pays for the entire cost, or at least 70% of the cost, to provide emergency medical services through our paramedic system.
I think what Mike's talking about, though, on the roads, we do. Well, in RPCs,
somebody is.
Right.
Well, we've been adding it to the list of RPCs. If you go back and look at some of it, we'll say they will follow recommendations of DLDOT or something like that.
Right.
And that puts the onus on them to do some negotiating. It's not really spelled out, so I'm sure they negotiate with this guy different than this guy. So is it an even playing field? We don't know.
Okay.
But
now, while you're on that subject, and that's a very good subject, let's suppose that particular subdivision is then required to finance a road improvement, an expensive road improvement, for example. Well, not just that subdivision, but people that live around that area will benefit from that road improvement, and they put nothing in the pot. And the same thing can happen on the other side with a developer, where a developer is required to do something, or let's suppose that a traffic impact study is done on subdivision X, and DLDOT says, well, you really don't need to do much of anything. and then another development is done, the same thing happens. And then by the time you get around to the last property and the last developer, he gets hit with $12 million worth of improvements that the others didn't pay into. This ordinance would start to lead you as a governing body into the master planning concept that has been embraced in Middletown, and state planning is trying to promote that throughout the state, whereby much of this planning is done in advance of the development, and much of the zoning is done. There's currently a project going on around Georgetown that's being ushered in mostly by state planning office. We've been meeting with them as well as the town to talk about a macro plan for the Georgetown area. And they really haven't gotten any authority into this planning process yet. But this concept of master area planning is a piece, or is a concept that this could become a part of. This ordinance would become part of that. And the benefit it gives you by embracing a master area plan would be that you wouldn't have to have 75 hearings on 75 different properties and projects that might be coming over the next 10 years. Your master plan would already predetermine the zoning and the land uses and how many EDUs you'll need, how many paramedics you'll need, how much road you'll need, yada, yada, yada. It'll give you a complete list of what's going to be needed. This is what was done in Middletown at the West Town project. If you're familiar with the layout of Middletown, to the west of the city, Route 301 goes through a major artery, and now that's been populated with shopping malls and large box stores and hotels and so forth. Well, that didn't happen one hearing at a time. That whole area was planned at one time. And this adequate public facilities ordinance was a portion of that. It helped them to pre-plan what's going to happen. It takes the legislators off the hook, so to speak, because then all the developer has to do is go in and apply for his piece, fund his piece of the infrastructure, and start building, because the town has already annexed the property. In your case, you wouldn't have to annex, but you have it pre-zoned and pre-subdivided. We do a lot of this in our sewer planning now. When we do a sewer project, John Ashman and his team go into an area and they say, okay, we're going to provide sewer for this piece of land. And they count up how many acres are there and how many lots, what's the zoning. And they come up with a calculation for you to consider of, just for numbers' sake, say 5,000 EDUs will be needed once that area is completely developed. So they begin to design a treatment plant and a collection system that will provide those EDUs to those people of the future. And then finance department, county administrator, bring all those numbers together and say, this will be the impact fee, this will be the front footage charge, this will be the, and they lay that all out in advance. I'm talking about doing the exact same thing with all other pieces of infrastructure. Water service, emergency medical service, roads, and school capacity. And that's really what this ordinance does. I think that we would need to have a larger discussion if in fact you think this ordinance is a piece of something you want to begin to think about, then introducing it today would hopefully trigger some hearings and some discussions so that this council might want to consider the benefit that you would receive by having these things pre-planned and pre-decided.
Well, I guess just I'm going to speak for myself, and I have a lot more questions than I have answers, and I'm a long way from, in my mind, introducing any kind of ordinance mm-hmm. without doing a lot more mm-hmm. understanding and research and mm-hmm. whatever. And there's a number of things that just pop in my mind that, I mean, do towns have this ordinance in the county?
Some towns, not in Sussex County, but some cities and towns do have ordinances similar to this. I provided for you five.
Not this county.
The two counties.
So what you could end up, I'm just thinking out loud here, what you could end up doing is, and maybe that's the intent of somebody, is you could be driving development to the town who doesn't have any of these restrictions.
Well, the whole livable Delaware concept a decade ago was aimed at doing just that. Encouraging, not driving, but encouraging development to happen around the current infrastructure.
But as we all know, the current governor doesn't is not, that's not his program with Delaware.
He hasn't been promoting that, no.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, we've seen some disassembly of some
Thank
of those
you very
features.
Much. That is a fact.
Correct. Mm-hmm. However, the need for water service, paramedics, roads, and schools are still there. As our economy begins to come back, we begin building again, particularly in larger numbers. We'll begin to have those discussions again about, well, okay, we're considering today a 258-unit subdivision near Del Mar, and will the Del Mar School District be affected? Well, I don't know. Maybe we ought to think about that. So those thoughts
how
and
we
discussions.
Know how many people are going to, I mean, well, never mind. This is a long way off.
Right.
George.
Yeah, I was just going to say we've talked about similar things. We did have, you mentioned Del Mar. There was a very controversial subdivision down there, and the school district down there did get involved,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't have any mechanism to sort
right.
it all out.
Right.
But what I'm curious about would be the success and failures in the other two counties with the programs they got, and I feel it's an opportunity for us now to, you know, see what they've got in place, mm-hmm. see how it's working, invite people down now and mm-hmm. find out mm-hmm. the pros and cons of what's going on. So my suggestion is this fall we have a workshop on this issue, mm-hmm. and you put together some stakeholders, some experts, or whatever. If you can bring some people from these other counties, from their planning departments. And then we could also maybe pick up some developers or some other people that have some concerns or very knowledgeable
no.
about this thing.
My people from my district have been working on this for 2 years, and they have been consulting with other counties, planning people, developers, attorneys, and they have made the rounds. Believe me, it's well studied. And these are community leaders from all over my district, and you know, we've spoken with town. In fact, a couple of them are town officials in themselves. I wanted to introduce.
Do you have a list of these people?
Yes, I do.
Well, this does affect more than just your district.
Right, right.
You do understand
that's,
that, I'm sure.
That's right.
Okay.
Again, I suggest that on something that's going to have this much of an impact, and it is a good time. I do agree it's a good time to look at these types of things as we got a slowdown. So, is there any consensus to hold a workshop sometime this fall on this?
What's the feeling, Council?
Any no's?
I have any thought about it.
I'll be thinking about it there, too.
What about having just a workshop?
Sure.
Vance?
I think
you got any
Mike,
thoughts?
I think Mike explained it very plainly there a while ago.
Yeah.
Put it up on the table here and just move on right away.
You've seen the bill I wanted introduced.
What's the feeling of the council?
If nobody's going to say anything, I don't have any problem, folks. I'll just speak. I don't have any problem with the workshop. If I can learn something,
okay.
I'd like to have the opportunity to learn something. If I don't like it, it'll be an opportunity for me to be able to make a decision after I've had a workshop hearing from the people how it brings in. I think it's something we need to do. So I don't agree with Joan to introduce this right now. I'd like to get it right because I'm sure that I've heard concerns about these kind of ordinances,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to if we're going to do it, if we're going to do something similar to it, let's look at it and try to get it right.
We had a promise from you all of a workshop 2 years ago. It never happened. This ordinance got put into the bottom drawer in this county and ignored. People have worked on it for all that time, and believe me, it should be considered. I'm going to introduce it.
She introduced it. Let's move on.
Okay, it's introduced.
Okay. Well, I'll just withdraw my concern for a workshop. It doesn't seem maybe after this is over, if we go through it, we'll have a workshop in the future.
I would just ask for the record. I believe the exact language was, "I'm going to introduce it."
Yes, I introduce
Are
it.
Are you introducing?
I introduce it. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
There's okay. no further discussion
nope.
at this point. We set
yeah.
up for here.
Done with that. Mr. Baker.
Next item is Delaware Department of Transportation 2012 to 2018 transportation program request. And as in previous years, as you may recall, the county submits a request to DelDOT for their consideration as they make decisions regarding funding for various road projects. Mr. Todd Lawson, Chip Guy, and myself have worked together to put together this request. Some changes have been made compared to the request from last year, especially regarding making the airport runway extension and related move of Park Avenue a higher priority. Also making the Georgetown to Lewis Trail a higher priority. And we took out the Indian River Inlet Bridge since that is practically done now. And we did, of course, make some changes to the local road schedule. This is a draft for your consideration, and we would appreciate your input regarding any changes that you may suggest. The final version will be presented at the Delaware Department of Transportation public meeting, which will be on September 15th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the DelDOT offices in Georgetown. In terms of the our program request, again, the county, of course, is the largest county in the state with 938 square miles. 37% of the state's roadways are in Sussex County. Our most heavily traveled roadways in the county are Route 13 and Route 1, which each carry more than 30,000 vehicles per day, followed by 113 with more than 24,000 vehicles per day. And of course, major east-west routes are also very heavily traveled. Congestion, of course, during the summer with our many summer visitors also compounds problems. And according to, you know, congestion is expected to worsen by 2030. This information is from our land use plan and a study done by DelDOT. In terms of the priorities that we are suggesting for this coming year, first, again, east-west improvements along the various roadways, 24, 26, 54, 9. Evacuation routes and then the county airport and Park Avenue, US 9 truck route realignment, bike and walking trails, north-south highway improvements, Route 1 improvements, flooding issues, local roads, intersections and signalization and alternative transportation. In terms of east-west corridors, we have the four main east-west corridors. Route 26, we are recommending the completion of the detour routes, which is underway now, and then center turn lanes, rights-of-way work completion, and shoulders. On Route 26 is recommended as per last year. Route 24, again, we're recommending widening to four lanes from Love Creek east to Route 1, and then west of Love Creek to 113, a center turn lane, and of course, intersection and signal improvements throughout Route 24. Route 9, 404, we're recommending increasing the capacity there and especially improvements to the intersections. Route 54, work is underway now from Route 20 to Keenwick West. And we are recommending similar improvements west from Route 20 to Selbyville. Evacuation routes, this is a important topic in the event of a major storm. We're recommending upgrading of the evacuation routes, installing turn lanes and intersection, conversion of additional traffic signals along these routes to a computerized system, which will help speed up evacuation if needed. And we recommend further educating the public regarding these routes. This map of evacuation routes is available for the public at the DelDOT's website, www.deldot.gov.
An interesting thing, we just went over a bunch of roads. It's the basically the same roads, the evacuation routes, and these, right. 9 and 24 and all. Anyway,
and there are
they're
some
the same roads. So I mean, right. They need to emphasize those, it's obvious.
DelDOT's having a public hearing on this, and I think it's important that people know that they're waiting to hear from folks. I say right. Hearing. It's important.
Yes, it is September 15th.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The next is the county airport, and I know the council's very familiar with this. Our airport handles 40,000 landings and takeoffs each year. It's the home to PATS and, of course, the Deltek Airframe Maintenance Training Program. We have 16 employers at our industrial park with more than 900 jobs, with an annual payroll of more than $36 million. Extending the maintenance runway from 5,000 to 6,000 feet would help preserve those jobs and offer new opportunities at our industrial park. The county, we estimate the cost, the local share of the cost for a 1,000-foot runway extension to be approximately $12 million, $6 million for the runway extension, roughly, and $6 million for the realignment of Park Avenue. This, we believe the 1,000-foot runway extension is critical to ensuring continued economic opportunities in the county and improved aviation safety. We are continuing at this time to pursue the financing plan for a 1,000-foot extension, while at the same time we are working on design for a 500-foot extension, which is eligible for FAA funding. This, as part of the 1,000-foot extension, we need to realign Park Avenue, which is a truck route around Georgetown and is also a bypass around Georgetown. It's the sole route to the Sussex County Industrial Park. Of course, it's a popular local route for motorists to bypass the town of Georgetown. The project estimated about $6 million. The county has already invested $3 million to secure various properties in the area and county funds that is needed. We believe this would be a safer route, and we are recommending that the state certainly give much consideration to this to help realign this this Park Avenue. Biking and walking trails. In June, Delaware General Assembly set aside $5 million in local share funding to help create state bike routes. One potential project is the Georgetown to Lewis Rail Trail, approximately 17 miles along the Delaware Coastline Railroad line. This would help promote healthier lifestyles, and it could also retain the current rail line, which does provide a link that is currently used by business in the Lewis area. It's my understanding that federal grants are available at a 4-to-1 match and for these projects. North-South Highway improvements, US 113, of course, this again is on our list. 113, of course, is fed by Route 1 from the north, 404 from the west, and 113 from the south. And this improvements here would help bypass the often congested Route 1 corridor. We have different constituencies here. Local users, of course, prefer access to their properties and relatively simple and safe traffic patterns, while our vacationers and trucks and long-distance commuters desire high-speed traffic patterns. We do believe that improvements should be phased in, and of course, based on public consensus. Delaware Route 1, we're recommending some improvements to improve safety and aid in the reduction in traffic congestions. The Five Points intersection continues to be a very difficult and confusing intersection. We are recommending that, they look at some options there. The intersection of Route 16 and the intersection of Route 30 and Route 1 are also accident-prone and dangerous intersections, and we are recommending some improvements there. Westcoats Corner at the entranceway into Lewis is a rather confusing intersection also, and we are recommending that the Delta take a look at that. Sidewalks along Route 1 would help, and there are various gaps in the sidewalks on Route 1. Pedestrian bridges and crosswalks, especially in the shopping areas along Route 1, would improve safety. Bike paths, and we've already talked about. Commercial properties interconnectivity, certainly would additional emphasis there would also help to avoid entering and re-entering and exiting on Route 1.
I have a question, Mr. Baker. Route 16 and 1, you were right, it is dangerous, and DelDOT had planned some improvements there at the intersection years ago. They're also looking at a huge gas station complex. I'm wondering if they put one in, can they do the other? I mean, how can we find out about that?
I'll be glad to investigate that. It's my understanding that I don't think they have funds set aside for Route 16 and right. 1 at this time.
Right, okay.
They do for Route 30 and 1, but I do not think they have funding set aside for Route 16 and 1, but we can certainly check into that.
I'm wondering if they put in this big station, that if they can still make improvements, you know, are they expecting to do it? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, by putting the gas station in, the developer may be required to make some of the improvements, and we may see some improvements. If we have to wait for the state, we may not see.
That's what I want to know.
So maybe we want to encourage that big gas station.
Well, I'm just so we can make the improvement, the intersection improvement.
As long as they got cheap gas.
They do.
Okay, and of course, flooding issues is a continuing problem on some of our roads. Rains and tides have resulted in some critical roadways being submerged, especially cuts off access to residents, especially Prime Hook, Long Neck, and Oak Orchard. Sometimes these roads are impassable for hours and sometimes even days. We are certainly recommending, again, improvements Prime Hook Road, Long Neck Road, and Fred Hudson Road, to name a few, where we do have problems. And sometimes these are the only primary routes into and out of flood-prone communities. Local roads, of course, are very important in Sussex County. And we do have a list of local roads that we are suggesting for various improvements. They are, of course, used as alternate routes sometimes for major thoroughfares. And there are various improvements recommended, from paving, widening shoulders, installing turn lanes, improving railroad crossings, which was something new that was added this year. And lighting, improving lighting. And we also encourage DelDOT to continue to pursue its 10-year goal to pave all tar and chip roads that have an annual traffic count of greater than 500 vehicles. And I'm not going to go through all this list, but we do have a list here that we put together with some input from the public. And also Mr. Wallace and Mr. Guy and I took a look at these roads. And there's a map, as you can see, that shows where they are. Mm-hmm. Intersections and signals. We are recommending that the state continue evaluating the intersections, especially along the major routes. Consider, again, dedicated more turn lanes and better coordination of traffic signals. And also consider a blinking red arrow left turn signal at certain key intersections. Transportation alternatives, fixed route service, where there are needs, especially around job centers, we are suggesting that DART take another look at that. We also are suggesting that the state encourage private mass transit providers to offer inexpensive bus routes between various urban centers and their beaches, which may help with traffic. We know this is being done and between various urban centers, and perhaps there's enough demand here to make it work in Sussex County. Signage and stops, we're recommending again reevaluation, and paratransit service, of course, for our senior and disabled population, again, is a high priority. In closing, Sussex County, again, encompasses the largest geographic area in Delaware, 46% of the area of the state, and we have 37% of all state-maintained roads here in Sussex. The Delaware Population Consortium estimates our population will grow approximately 30% between 2022 between 2010 and 25. Tourism continues to cause some additional demands on our transportation system. And waiting to plan and make needed roadway improvements would only make these improvements more expensive and difficult to implement in the future. We are concerned, especially regarding the network of east-west roads, and we are recommending that the state consider economic development opportunities as they look at this list. Rerouting Park Avenue and extending the main runway at the airport would preserve existing jobs and spawn new employment opportunities for the future, as well as provide a much safer route around Georgetown. Walking and bike trails between Georgetown and Lewis, we believe, would increase tourism opportunities, especially in central Sussex County. And again, we wish to thank DelDOT and the Council on Transportation for giving us the opportunity to submit this annual request.
Okay, we haven't submitted it yet, right?
No, we have not. And our plan is to maybe discuss this briefly at the next council meeting and get any more input you have as soon as possible, so we could make some changes if you would like.
You don't want any right now?
I would welcome, Mr. Baker, I welcome it as soon as possible, because I have to print these mm-hmm. and the large posters for the public hearing, which will be on the 15th. So if you have any input today.
It's what's already in there, but I just like to stress what I think is we could emphasize, and it might in a letter at the end. But when I was looking at Route 5, which many people have found out about, is a good way to get down to the Long Neck area if you're coming down Route 1. And you can come off of Route 1 right on Route 5 and go all the way to Long Neck. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in here about Route 5, is there?
We do have it in under local roads.
We do have, okay.
For shoulders. See,
I think an emphasis on Route 5 and with good signage would educate a lot of people to divert some of that traffic that goes to Long Neck. But anyway, that's just one suggestion. Instead of four lanes to Love Creek, that doesn't make sense. Four lanes to Long Neck makes more sense to me, maybe, to emphasize that. If we're going to come from Coastal Highway, right, Route 1, back to Long Neck, because there's so much congestion at Long Neck, you know, you're kind of in a little, you're funneling it to Love Creek, then it widens open. The problem is all the way from Long Neck to Coastal Highway to get all those people from Long Neck down. An overpass, I think they need, like if you go through Kent Island, you can see how they got the traffic going right straight through. It'd be nice if we could somehow get some kind of overpass or something to get some of that traffic, just not have to stop and just keep on going. So like an overpass should be probably emphasized at the 5 points. And Everett, something maybe you can we force interconnectivity? Because years ago we've had all these commercial things approved, and they're sitting all independent from one another. People got to come in and out. We are now encouraging it and stuff. Is there any way we can go back and say to that, you know, as we infill stuff, that we can start requiring current property owners to interconnect? Or can we get, anyway, connectivity is very important.
We discussed this last year.
Right, but we need it on Route 1, 113, and 13, all three of those major roads with those commercial districts, like through Seaford. You didn't have to pull in and out. If we could just require it and go back. And anyway, that's something. And then on the north-south thing, that's going nowhere. They've spent a ton of money on studies. We could have intersection upgrades. If they just did that, you can't imagine how much that would improve 113 through Millsboro in those areas. So stop spending money on studies and spend the money on the intersections that already exist. Improve them. And we would see some relief, because we're not going to get this north-south road in my lifetime. So,
on your earlier point about the interconnectivity, Mr. Moore, there are minutes from last September when you gave back to council some perspective and some answers on that. So we can pull that for you, Mr. Cole.
Well, yeah, I don't know if other communities do it, but I think
it's very important in my district.
We could go back. It's not the new projects. The new projects we can require it if they abut another project that we'd require. But it's all of a sudden you come to this project that was approved 30 years ago, and it's stuck right in the middle, and it messes everything up.
how can we require interconnectivity from these big parking lots, either in the front or in the rear somehow?
I think DLDOT has done that with the more recent projects, but...
Well, I don't have any problem with recent. We're doing it with recent new projects. It's the older projects that are going to be, as you go along, that are stuck maybe in the middle that's fouling up a system of interconnectivity that could go for quite a while, especially like I said, through Seaford and north of Seaford and going towards Bridgeville and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
George, I wonder how many more people would come here every weekend if we had it very convenient so they could speed in here faster so they wouldn't have to slow up. Wouldn't we have a lot more people come?
Well, ask the business community, Sam, and most of us like to have people come here. If it wasn't for the beaches of Sussex County, this county would be in dire straits.
I didn't take the negative thought of never going to have that.
I know what you're getting at.
Got me all things done. You're saying here.
Right.
I didn't say that I'm against more people coming. I just said it would be more convenient for more people to come.
There's a theory
George, we could double up on
the theory I have is the people that are coming today are having serious problems. I'm not trying to encourage more people. I'm trying to make it better for the people we already have that own the second homes that come in and vacation in our motels and hotels, so that the current population, you know, near us within 2 hours that want to come and go that are already doing it. Let's just get the traffic flowing, because then the locals will like it better, because then we can all live a little more comfortably and get around a little bit better. So I think some of these minor things, because we keep looking at these big projects never get done. But fix an intersection for me at Millsboro, yeah, then you've done something for me.
I wrote down before you ever brought that up, George, mm-hmm, one of the problems we have is stoplights. Accidents, people run stoplights, all kinds of things, holds up traffic. This 13 out here, 113, is a commercial highway, it's supposed to be. And one of our biggest products that we have, and is probably the biggest industry, is farming. And chicken is number one. And chicken trucks just cannot get their product to New York, Worcester, anywhere else. They just stop and start all the time. So we got a big problem there, and building more highways, I don't think that's the reason. I think the real reason is...
Never said that.
We're spending a lot of money. I don't know what we're spending money. I see Bridgeville was a total waste. In a sense of speaking, total waste. When I thought we was going to have a flyway, I went and looked that thing all over. And when it got done, we still got the same stoplights. We still got everything. There's nothing was improvement on that. What is it, millions of dollars? You remember what I'm talking about, Ben? Millions of dollars spent on that intersection, and we got done. We're as bad off as was when we started. They could have simplified that by putting a simple flyway coming off of 13 and brought it into 404 and spent near enough money and had something going on. As it is, I sit on this highway, Fenda Jones pointed me years ago sitting on the highway. And it's the old saying goes, build it and they'll come. And that's where I got this thought. We come to the conclusion, I've been to New York. When I used to go to New York, we had 95, we had a couple other corridors going up, taking this traffic up. And they said, well, we're gonna solve this problem. So they built a wider highway. They were up to 4-lane highways. They went to 6-lane, 8-lane. Every time you build it more convenient, I guarantee you, they'll fill the highway. Our cheapest way out is build overhead bridges, because we just can't keep going through the middle of the state, taking out main roads, and cost us millions of dollars. In fact, the state can't even afford it, I don't think. Of course, I don't know. When I look up here, I see about $5-7 billion for a bicycle path. I'm beginning to wonder if we got our priorities even straightened out.
Sam, we have a bicycle shop. Careful where you go with
that. I think bicycle paths are nice, but
bicycles
know,
are good for you. I'm going to give you one for Christmas.
I think you're a farmer on a new tractor next year, too.
Mr. Phillips.
Chip, has any cost analysis been done on the bus service in this county? It seems like a rural county like Sussex County is not tailor-made for bus service, and we keep requesting in this, you know, buses.
I'm not sure.
So many times you see one or two people at the most on buses, especially in western Sussex. Somebody once says you could give them all taxi cab fare.
They have advanced, they've put bus stops in the most crazy places, have these little signs right along Coastal Highway. There's a sign, and there's a little bike where I guess one of these foreign workers parks her bike there, and she's the only one gets on this thing. But it's when you come out of Fred Hudson on the Coastal Highway, it's about, I don't know, a couple hundred feet or 100 feet or something.
nobody in their wildest dreams would think that is an appropriate bus stop. There's no housing around it. But anyway, somebody, whoever designs these bus routes and the stops and the signage to indicate it is just, I don't know what they're doing. But
I question that, George, in these meetings. Why are we got all these buses?
When it feels good.
Says only
it
two or three good. Riding the bus, and it's an unprofitable, same problem you can do.
Sam, it feels good.
I asked them, they said, well, we're getting a lot of money from federal transportation.
Right, and we're required to do it.
Sending that money down here, and we can hire a man to drive the bus up and down and get a couple people ride. So what? We got plenty of money out of the government. So I think it's a good example of what the federal government's done if you look at what kind of debt they've got us into. They don't analyze anything. Look at the cost. They don't justify. They don't handle justification in a lot of things.
Well, when
the
we
government
get
just bugs me to death like does everybody else.
When we get federal money, there are strings attached, and that's probably one of them. But we could probably get a better bang for that if we could just locate these bus stops in logical spots.
Well, I think somebody made his point clear here earlier.
I would not
use the bus stop because when I get ready to leave, I want to be ready to leave. I want to come and go as I please. How many people get on a bus and say, well, this project I'm going to go see or what I'm going to do shopping, the bus goes back 3 hours later. You say, I only want to stay a half an hour. It just, people think it's just waste your time. They're not going to use a bus. You can face that. It proved it. Go back, look at history. City of Wilmington had all the buses you want, almost every street you want. They called them trolleys. And I mean, they really went. But when the automobile came in, took its place, and made it more convenient, the trolleys went. So if trolleys didn't work then, when they already had them established, what makes us think we're going to put trolleys back in?
Careful, my grandfather worked on the trolleys in Wilmington.
Pardon?
Careful where you go with that. My grandfather was a trolley operator.
Okay, everybody can, if we could, get your comments back mm-hmm. to Mr. Baker. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to have anything, additions, corrections, yeah. changes, something to it, and then you're going to bring it back to us, you said then?
Yes, on the 13th, some revisions based on the comments we received.
If we
it'd be good to get it to
comments.
You before the 13th,
right.
I would think,
if
because
we could have the
15th is the hearing,
to me
right?
By the 6th or 7th of September, that sure. Tuesday or Wednesday after Labor Day, which would give me enough time to incorporate any changes
sure.
and get the printing done ahead okay. of the workshop.
Mr. Cole's issues are the same in my district. Exactly what you were saying, it applies to our district too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Guy. Mr. Baker, Minister's reports.
I would like to thank Mr. Guy and Mr. Lawson for their help with putting this together.
I'm glad he's doing so.
Certainly, it does take a lot of time.
No.
Go. First item is summer holidays.
We take a 3 month summer
Sam,
holiday.
Please, Dave's got there. Oh. So. Thank you.
County Council will not meet on August 30th or September 6th in honor of the Labor Day holiday, plus a summer break. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the County Council will be on September 13th at 10 a.m. County offices will be closed on Labor Day, September 5th, and will reopen at 8:30 a.m. on the next day, the 6th. We regret to inform you that Ms. Jean Henry, a former county employee, passed away on August 15th. Ms. Henry worked from 1987 to 2003 as a relief part-time deputy for the Sheriff's Office. We wish to express our condolences to her family and friends. We are pleased to welcome Extreme Makeover television show to Sussex County. The show will bring additional awareness to others about the county. Heavy turnout of volunteers also reflects the volunteer spirit of the people in our county. This program will be viewed on national TV and is viewed in over 100 countries worldwide. And it's not on our, not on the written report here, but I'd just like to announce that Mrs. Gay King will be retiring, and she's leaving, I think, September 1st. And I know she's handled our council taking the place of Mrs. Griffith when she was off, and we certainly will miss her. I don't know if Gay is here or not.
She's at her desk.
Okay, she's at her desk.
Susie can do it. She knows how to operate it. Right, Susie? We're in good hands.
I would try. I need it.
You are, huh?
Come on. Yay!
We just voted. Okay, we just voted that you stay one more year.
Congratulations on your retirement. Best wishes. And we're sorry you're leaving. But
what do we do about the candy now? Go ahead.
Sorry, Ms.
Deaver. Thought you were finished. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I understand having the tough situation, having to work with Robin every day is probably moving in. Ms. Deaver.
I was just to say, she's one of the sweetest people that that we work with here. I really appreciate her attitude. Wonderful.
Mr. President, Kay is someone we grew up in the same neighborhood. I've known her all my life, and it is very appropriate that she retired at this point. When you find your picture in the Delaware State Archives, you know it's time to retire. I was doing some research the other day, and I found a picture of Gay receiving, when she was 8 years old, a state fire prevention an award in Georgetown School.
And we'll be circulating that picture later, right?
Of course not.
With a date on it.
It'll be on the county webpage by 2:00.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Gay, for your service.
Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And her cooking, right, George?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to miss that, too. Yeah, can you stop by about once a week and bring some baked goods or something? Or?
It sounds like a sexist remark, but it was good cooking.
Moving right along, Mr. Joe Thomas.
She's the only staff
person. Updated emergency operations plan.
Kitchen in her office.
Might get a chance to use that come Sunday.
Can you cook, Joe?
Sunday.
Yeah.
Can I cook?
Can you cook?